Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Weigel comes across as a very competent leader,
who has a well laid out plan for the successful start for the new Eastern. I asked him to tell us what benchmark, when reached, would launch the new Eastern, and he responded that it would be $150 million. But I failed to ask him at how far along this they were in reaching this goal. And he is very impressive. Chuck, how are things down in the villages? And your thoughts, please.
Well, we've got tonight a balmy 74 degrees, partly cloudy. Looks like this week we'll have a high of 86. And looks like great golf weather for all those who've come down to get out of the snow. Our snowbirds are here now, and we're just going out and having a good time over the golf links and doing all our different categories of things that we like to do. As far as the program that we heard last week, Mr. Wiggle, it was very impressive. You know, obviously I did ask him about the maintenance that he was going to perform on these different types of airplanes. I got the impression that it was going to be contracted out, so I, as an old Eastern mechanic, hopefully they change their mind and will bring the mechanics into the Eastern family. But that's an economic move, and you have, like you said, he's a smart man. I think he's got a good plan. That $150 million that he was talking about, he was very impressive as far as I was concerned that they would meet this in a very near future. So I think it's going to get off the ground and really be great. The aircraft that he's contracting for are very good airplanes. The one that China is going to build later on, the C-919, sounds like a good sound airplane, and we'll have to see how that goes. But all in all, I was very impressed. Neil, what did you think about Mr. Wiggle's message?
Well, first of all, he has been on our program a couple of times in the past. He's been more than obliging in that he has graciously accepted our request every time. We've asked him for an appearance on our shows, and without hesitation, he really does want to keep the Eastern family informed. And I think, Steve, you mentioned the fact that he didn't give you the benchmark of money, but I did, and Chuck confirmed it. I believe I heard that they were expecting to start up with about $150 million. Did you not hear that, Steve, in the address, or?
Yes, I did hear that. I did not ask him, or I don't know how far along toward that $150 million they are.
Oh, okay. Okay,
they have,
yeah,
$50 million now.
What did you say, Chuck?
He has $50 million now. I have some notes here, and those two figures I had written down.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
I did like what he said, that that they were planning to start a business or a profit center, I guess, with the Eastern entity, and that profit center was going to be a training center known as, I think, didn't he name it EAL, Flight Academy or something like that?
Yeah,
something along those lines.
Yeah, Eastern Airlines Flight Academy, I think, is he named it.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of easing into the airline operations, especially if he can get manufacturers of the two major simulators, anyhow, Boeing and Airbus. And I don't think China has a simulator yet for their C-919. I want to keep calling that C-119, C-119s of the military cargo aircraft, but at any rate, I think that's a good part of their business plan in putting together a flight academy in Miami, where so many foreign countries come, and we all remember in the Hartley building, in the lobby, all of the airlines, the various airlines that were displayed on the in the lobby on the wall. Of the various airlines that took their training through Eastern Airlines. You recall that, anyone? Steve, especially?
Yes. I think it's a splendid idea. because of all of the potential hiring that's going to be done by all the airlines in the near future.
Exactly.
It should be very profitable.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
And one thing that I was just going to comment on, I have dreamed about Eastern Airlines starting up many, many times. And I even dream that I'm called up for a trip. And I get to the airport, and I can't find my uniform nor my flight bag. And I am so – and then when the times that I have dreamed about starting up and I'm called for a trip, I get to the airport, and I keep thinking to myself, I hope they don't find out I'm 78 years old.
You know,
the least of your worries, does the uniform fit?
Chuck's probably turning wrenches, too, in his dreams. But it was a good message. I think it was very good. I'm sorry that some folks that listen to our radio show have called and emailed me, rather, and have expressed the fact that Eastern doesn't have a president. There is no Eastern. But I reminded that person that, yes, there is an Eastern. There is an Eastern estate, and it is an entity, and it does have a president, and his name is Ed Wiegel. And I agree with you, Bill. His resume is very, very impressive. It really is. I think he would be a real a great choice for any airline to welcome him to run an operation as complicated as an airline as the airline business is. Jim, before we take a commercial break, would you like to share your thoughts? How's the weather down there in West Palm Beach?
Oh, the weather has been just beautiful. I think it hit almost 80 degrees today. I was thinking about going swimming, but I had so many things to do at home. I could not believe thinking about last week's program and how Mr. Wiegel indicated that the financial end of the business is all important, and how he was not going to do anything until he was sure that we have sufficient capital to begin our program. Let's take that commercial break now.
Take a second now, look up in the sky, can't you see the blue there? That's an Eastern plane flying through the sky, shouldn't that be you there?
You gotta believe, it's for you. You gotta believe, things come true. You gotta believe and look it up now. Eastern, look it up now. Look it up, look at you.
We all have met strong aviation leaders, pioneers, and aviation greats during our careers with Eastern or before. Have you ever met one that was so well thought of that he was enshrined into an elite organization known as the Hall of Fame? Well, that is the subject of our show tonight. We'll tell you about a few, although there are many, we would like to speak of tonight, mainly because some of our own have been recognized by these groups. Let's start with a few state halls of fame. Neil, would you like to tell us about the Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame?
Thanks, Bill. I have a very personal experience with the Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame, and I'll tell you a little bit about it at the end of this presentation of the Georgia Hall of Fame. It is the only exclusively aviation-related organization chartered by a General Assembly of the State of Georgia in recognition of its importance to the state. The Georgia legislature passed House Bill 110, creating this organization, which was formally signed into law by Governor Joe Frank Harris on the 19th of April in 1989. The Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame is established in the Museum of Aviation at Robins Air Force Base, Georgia, which is one of the fastest-growing military aviation museums in the southeastern United States. It is a mission of the Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame to promote and encourage the growth and public support of aviation within the state of Georgia by honoring aviation leaders, living and dead, whose extraordinary achievements or services have made outstanding and lasting contributions to aviation, perpetuating the memory of such persons and recording their history or their biography. The Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame has a new home. The Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame is located on the second floor mezzanine of the Century of Flight hangar. And if you've never been to Warner Robins and down by Macon, and to see this Hall of Fame, it is an outstanding presentation of those people that are selected. Plus much more as far as the exhibits and so forth that they have on display, and the aircraft that are hanging from the ceiling, such as the Blackbird, some of the other aircraft, the B-29 and so forth. The Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame is a great place to visit. Once selected, the inductees are presented and honored at the enshrinement ceremony and banquet. They are awarded the Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame Gold Medallion of Honor and Achievement. To date, 93 individuals have been inducted into the Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame. For more information on the Hall of Fame, as well as biographies of each inductee, you can visit the Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame webpage at www.gaaviation.com. That is gaaviationhalloffame.com, and that'll put you to their website. A lot of great stuff on that page, and you can read the bios of all 93 people that have been inducted into that Hall of Fame, including our own president of Eastern Airlines, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. Who would you think it would be anything but a shoe-in? You know, you would think it would be a shoe-in to get into the Hall of Fame in Georgia, but I think the requirements of a person to become eligible and eventually to be enshrined into a Hall of Fame of a state would be quite difficult. And it was, even with Eddie Rickenbacker. And to someone like Eddie Rickenbacker, who was the ace of aces and a Medal of Honor winner, the very first Medal of Honor winner in aviation, which happened in World War One, for the diligent work of Captains Bill Malone, Gib Guerin, Johnny Johnson, Paul Kelly, all of Eastern Airlines, and others, Captain Eddie might not have made it into the Hall of Fame. I was there when his name was presented into that class, along with his son, at the presentation. It was a moving and emotional event that night that I'll always remember. I would like to add additional thoughts at the end of the Hall of Fame discussion tonight, but Bill, tell us a little bit about the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame.
Thanks, Neil. The Florida Air Museum at Sun and Fun recently hosted the 9th annual induction ceremony of the Florida Aviation Historical Association. Among nominees received from the FAH membership were Nicole Pisano Stott, Tampa's own NASA astronaut, who served as flight engineer on International Space Station Expedition 20 and 21, and mission specialist on STS-128. Thomas Benoit, 1874 to 1917, United States American pilot known for having started the first scheduled airline service coincidentally between Tampa and St. Petersburg, Florida, in 1914. Wilma Cruzen, civic-minded Tampa resident that enjoyed a distinguished career as an airline captain with Pan American Grace Airlines in South America, Aerovia Sudamericana, and Red Carpet Airlines. He authored Flying the Andes, the story of Pan American Grace Airways and commercial aviation in South America. The three 2012 inductees joined 29 current Hall of Fame honorees, including Amelia Earhart, Howard Hughes, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, General James H. Jimmy Doolittle, Jack Hunt, and Kermit Weeks, celebrated on the FAHS Hall of Fame gallery wall in the museum. Inductees are individuals who have made a superior contribution to the technical or practical development of aeronautics and or space, or have been responsible for a unique aviation-related achievement. The induction ceremony took place on January the 28th, and all were welcome to attend. The Florida Air Museum on the Sun and Fun campus is located on the south side of the Lakeland-Linder Regional Airport. The main entrance at 4175 Medulla Road is accessible from either West Pipkin or County Line Roads in Lakeland. Inductees were identified and confirmed by the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame Selection Committee, comprised of members of the Florida Aviation Historical Society in cooperation with the Florida Air Museum. The Florida Aviation Historical Society is a not-for-profit organization of aviation enthusiasts joined together to record, honor, and perpetuate Florida's rich aviation heritage. Photographs of these distinguished aviators will be placed among past inductees, highlighted in a permanent Florida Air Museum display. Neil, you have some remarks about the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame. Would you like to comment?
Yes, the Florida Aviation Historical Society, which I was a member of and on the board of directors a few years back with John Engel. A lot of the Eastern people remember John Engel as being the station manager here in Jacksonville, and he was one of the, the station manager and sales and marketing as well. But the two of us wanted to get an Eastern person into the Hall of Fame of Aviation, and the first class, the very first class, John and I put together a bio of Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, and he was one of the first five inductees into the Florida Aviation Historical Society's enshrinees. So it was quite a privilege for us, John and I. John passed away about 5 or 6 years ago, but it was a great honor to be able to place Captain Rickenbacker's name among those that are enshrined now into the Florida Aviation Historical Society. I'm going to try to get our guest tonight on the radio with us tonight, and I made an error just a moment ago. You may have had a little blank airspace or dead airspace. I attempted to make a call to our interview, a person that we're going to interview tonight, Captain Jim Grayville. But, Margaret, I want you to, first of all, go ahead and tell us a little bit about the Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame, and then I'll try to make an attempt to get Jim Grayville, who is one of the inductees, into that state's Hall of Fame. Margaret?
Well, Neil, as a fellow Kentuckian, I'd be more than happy to talk about the Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame. Chartered by the Commonwealth Legislature as Kentucky's official Aviation Hall of Fame, the Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame was established to recognize and enshrine those Kentuckians and those with close ties to Kentucky who've made significant contributions to the field of aviation and aerospace. From Matthew Sellers' 1908 flight in Carter County to Story Musgrave's 1993 NASA shuttle flight to repair the Hubble Space Telescope, Kentucky has made vast contributions to aviation research, exploration, and innovation, civilian, military, and commercial. And a recent inductee was Eastern Captain Jim Grayville. Now, Jim Grayville was born in Mason County, Kentucky in 1933, and all he ever wanted to do was fly. He grew up in Shelbyville, where he washed airplanes at the grass strip to earn more money for flying lessons. He soloed at age 16 from Bluegrass Airport, and after Shelbyville High School, he attended Parks College, University of St. Louis, studying aeronautical engineering. When he graduated from the University of Kentucky with his B.S. in aeronautical engineering, he joined the United States Marine Corps, hoping to fly. But fate intervened, and Jim found himself training other Marines as a drill instructor at Parris Island, South Carolina. This ability was something that was needed during the Korean conflict, and soon he found himself on the battlefield, where he received a Purple Heart and a battlefield commission as captain. Once out of the military, Jim worked as a flight instructor at Dick Bomer's Flying Service on Bluegrass Field and Dick Malloy's Kentucky Flying Service at Bowman Field in Louisville. An airline slot opened, and Jim found himself working for Eastern Airlines starting in 1961. During his career, Jim has logged more than 33,000 hours flying a variety of aircraft, including the Martin 404, Convair CV-440, Lockheed L-188, the L-1011, the L-1049G, Douglas DC-7, DC-9, Boeing B-720, B-727, B-737, B-747, B-757, B-67. Oh, my goodness, I'm so impressed. The Gulfstream G-4, the G-4SP, plus numerous light single and twin engine aircraft. Jim is captain rated on the Boeing B-727, the B-757, B-767, DC-9, and the L-188. He's also an FAA pilot examiner and check airman on Boeing B-727, B-757, B-767, and the Gulfstream G-4. Now, Jim retired from Eastern Airlines in 1989 after the strike, and continued to work as a pilot in Amsterdam, flying a B-757 for Air Holland. Back to the States, he joined Flight Safety Incorporated, Savannah, Georgia, and American Transair Airlines in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Jim has written recurrent pilot examination guides for all G-4 instructors, examiners, and check airmen. He participated in writing the syllabus for initial and recurrent G-4 students. His ratings include Airline Transport Pilot Certificate, Airline Multi-Engine Land, Instructor Ratings, the CFI, the CFII, the MEI, Type Ratings, L-188, B-727, B-757, B-767, DC-9, and the G-4. FE Certificate, Reciprocating Engine-Powered Aircraft, Turboprop and Turbojet-Powered Aircraft, Commercial Pilot Privileges, Airplane, Single Engine Land. He attended classes at NASA in cockpit resource management. And in January 2006, he retired from Flight Safety International, Savannah, Georgia, and returned to Kentucky with his wife, Beverly. He's an active volunteer with the Aviation Museum of Kentucky as a docent. He's also an avid collector of Eastern Airlines memorabilia. His house is literally a museum honoring the once proud airline.
Margaret, we're going to try to get Jim on the phone right now, so bear with me and see if we can get him to connect with our station. You might hear a dial tone and a dial, I hope. Let's try it. Well, I must have the wrong phone number, folks, but I'm going to try another one. And we do have questions that we want to ask Jim, and hopefully we can get him on the air. For the time being, let's see if we can talk a little bit about the Chuck. You have some information about the EARA Hall of Fame. Would you tell us a little bit about?
Yeah, the EARA Hall of Fame was in place for many years with many inductees from all departments and their Hall of Fame. The ceremonies were well attended. All look forward to the yearly induction into the EARA Hall of Fame. The ceremonies were held in several different venues around the Eastern System. They were discontinued a few years ago. It would be a good to see the association pick up this annual event. There are many who should be so honored among the retirees. What do you say, EARA?
We have also the REPA Hall of Fame that I had the honor of introducing a candidate, three candidates, as a matter of fact, to the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's Hall of Fame, and all three were inducted into this honored group. Each year, a new person receives this award at the REPA convention. Some past recipients are Captain Dick Merrill, Captain Gene Brown, Captain John Halliburton, Captain Rick Rivenbark, Captain Bill Malone, Captain Jerry Frost, most recently, and many others through the 30-plus years of existence. Steve?
Yes. Some of the National Hall of Fames are the National Aviation Hall of Fame, where inductees have been named for the class of 2013. They are the late Charles Alfred Anderson. In 1940, Anderson, who is widely recognized as the father of African-American aviation, helped develop a civilian pilot training program for blacks. His 1941 flight with First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt aboard was the catalyst that led to the training of the first African-American military pilots, the Tuckasegee Airmen, for whom Anderson served as a chief flight instructor. Major General Patrick H. Brady, USA retired, his highly decorated 34-year-plus Army career includes developing foul weather and tactical techniques for helicopter air ambulance rescue and combat. Brady flew over 2,500 missions during two Vietnam combat tours and rescued over 5,000 wounded. His numerous service awards include the Medal of Honor and Distinguished Service Cross. And there was Captain Robert L. Hoot Gibson, U.S. Navy retired. As a Navy fighter pilot, Gibson flew combat in Southeast Asia, graduated from Top Gun, and served as a flight test pilot before joining NASA's Astronaut Corps in 1978. Now, he flew five shuttle missions, four as a commander, and participated in the Challenger accident investigation team. Also an aeronautical engineer, record-setting pilot, and air racer, Captain Gibson has logged over 14,000 hours in over 130 types of aircraft. Now, the late Dwayne L. Wallace, after 41 years with the Cessna Aircraft Company, Wallace retired in 1975 as its chairman and CEO. During the Depression, Wallace used money won by air racing to meet the payroll. After the company served World War II military aircraft demand, Wallace directed Cessna's development and growth of extensive corporate and general aviation product lines. He was a founder and first chairman of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association. Also, we might add that Captain Eddie Rickenbacker is among those so honored in the National Aviation Hall of Fame. And there was another story about Captain Hoot Gibson that I can't recall, but it was also a widely talked about incident that he was involved in. And can anybody share that with us?
Of course, he was a Navy fighter pilot, I guess we all knew.
I thought there was a Captain Hoot Gibson, who was an airline pilot, that was involved in an incident that was kind of notorious.
Was that a TWA incident?
Yeah.
That is my recollection, yes.
Hey, guys.
Steve?
Let me.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I just wanted to ask Steve if that incident involved TWA.
It did.
Yes.
He supposedly was in command of an airplane, the 727, that performed a barrel roll. Am I correct?
That sounds familiar. Yes.
Hey, guys, I'm going to see if I call Jim Hart's number instead of Jim Graybill's number. So that's my fault. I did a bad there, as they say today. So I'm going to attempt again to call Jim Graybill. I think he would be an interesting interview. So bear with me on this call. You guys can keep talking during this.
I've got a few things to say about the National Aviation Hall of Fame, Neil.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, before you do, Jim or Bill, is this Jim Graybill?
Sure is.
Hey, Jim, I'm so sorry to call you so late because I said I would call you about 20 minutes ago, and I kept calling the wrong number. Would you believe that? Yes, you
would. Yeah, I believe that, Neil.
But you can listen to your bio that was read by Margaret Bars, and she did a great job of pronouncing all the airplanes that you have checked out on and instructor on and so forth. But now that we've got you on the air, and you are an enshrinee into the Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame, first of all, congratulations.
Well, thank you, sir.
When did this happen, Jim?
2010 enshrinees class, Neil.
Okay.
2010, I'm sorry.
2010. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that was a long time ago. My golly. And do you recall how many enshrinees they
Yeah,
have
there,
in Kentucky?
Yeah, there are four each year, Neil. The 2013 enshrinee class, we've got 62 candidates to choose from. But out of the 62, there will only be four.
I would imagine you have a real a great ceremony, too, that goes along with being
Yeah, enshrined. When I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go, no, that's it. Go ahead with your thought.
No, the September or October, November each year, they have a black tie banquet at the museum, and it usually runs. Oh, depends on how long the guys talk. It usually runs around 4 or 5 hours before it's all over with. But they have the four enshrinees come up to the stage, and they put a medal similar to the Olympic medal around your neck. And,
wow, quite impressive.
Yeah, it is. It's very humbling.
Yeah. Now, this Hall of Fame of Kentucky, was it legislated into?
Yeah, it the Aviation Museum started as a round table discussion in 85-86, Neil. And the first enshrinees that were inducted into the Hall of Fame was in 96. And every year since then, there's been three, sometimes five, inductees. Since I've been involved with it, it's been four each year. In addition to the four inductees, they have a organization that they bring into the Hall of Fame each year for whatever they've done for aviation and for the hall for the Kentucky Museum. I.e., a couple of years ago, the organization chartered a airplane to take the World War II vets to Washington to see the World War II Memorial. I think last year was what was last year? They
call them honor flights, Jim.
Honor flights.
Yeah.
And for the work they did on children and so forth. The Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame has been enshrined into, or has been chartered by the General Assembly, but the so it's the only one in Kentucky, and the museum itself has been chartered by the General Assembly. Basically, what the charter's for is for the children. Each summer, we have week-long classes that kids sign up for, depending on their age. I think it goes from 9 to 15, 16 years old, a week-long on aviation history and what makes an airplane fly, blah, 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 blah. That's in Lexington. It goes to a week in Louisville, Bowling Green. Your gal there from Hazard, they go down there for a week. And different other cities in the state that they go to. But the whole museum is very much catering toward young people.
Jim, I've got a question. I break in here. Is
sure.
there any other Eastern Airlines employee or pilot or anyone from Eastern Airlines enshrined into the Kentucky Hall of Fame?
Not Eastern Airlines, no. Mm-mm. Not that I know of, Neil.
Okay. Well, we have a host that are listening as well. We have Jim Hart. We have Bill Joseph. Yeah, he's way out in Grand Junction, Colorado. And we have Steve Thompson, who is up in Roaring Gap. You probably know Steve. And
yeah.
We have, who else did I leave out? Margaret Bars.
Steve Thompson.
Yes.
And Steve Thompson. Yeah, I mentioned Steve. Margaret Bars and Chuck Albright, who lives.
Yeah, I saw this here on the.
Yeah. And we do have two folks that are actually from Kentucky. Margaret Bars is from Kentucky. And we just had Luann Wiggins that just walked into our studio that also would like to chat with you for just a moment, Jim.
Sure.
And,
hey, Jim.
But before
can
we do that, can we have any of our hosts that would like to ask Jim any questions?
Yes. Hi, Jim. This is Steve Thompson. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, Steve, how are you, buddy? Good to hear from you.
I since you're from Kentucky, and so is Luann, she and I have a difference of opinion as to how you pronounce the capital of Kentucky. Is it Louisville or Louisville?
Neither one. It's Frankfort, Kentucky.
I'm so proud of you, Captain Jim.
I was going to say Lexington.
Sorry about that, Steve.
Yeah, nice to hear from you.
And you certainly won't win with Jim either.
I'm sorry. Did I settle an argument here or what?
You did.
Okay.
Well, Jim, as Neil told you, we do have a guest who just walked in, and actually she's a fellow Kentuckian as well, and she's pestering us to ask you a question. And,
sure.
I just need to caution you, though, since I do know her, and she's just a little different, and most of the time she doesn't even make sense, or, you know, the question she asks is a little embarrassing. So I just want you to be forewarned.
Okay.
If you're on the phone, I certainly will. So,
okay.
This is Luann.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Captain Jim. My
name
is Luann. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You?
Well, I'm doing just great now that I'm here in Othello, Kentucky, because, you know, I'm from Kentucky, too. And I heard about you being inducted into the Hall of Fame and all that. And congratulations on that. That just speaks so highly of all the people from Kentucky. And I was just wondering, would you be interested you know, in accepting a job with Air Kentucky. Now, you may not have heard of them because you've been gone for a little while, but we sure are in dire need of a chief pilot and head of the company, and we just hope that, you know, you'd be interested. And shoot, we need everybody. We don't have nobody to fly our planes. But just in time, Captain Jim, now I know I'm talking really fast here because, you know, the host on this show just jump in any time.
I think he warned me about this.
I did. But anyway, just in time, Captain Jim, we got us a dandy little red Learjet. It just skips and jumps all over them bluegrass hills.
Learjet? Are you from down in Hazard Land?
Yeah, we got that little old red.
Oh, boy.
Well, we'll just come pick you up. Oh, wait a minute. We can't pick you up. We don't have no pilot.
Okay, that might be a problem.
We get you a shuttle bus.
Okay.
Actually, our shuttle bus is a remodeled school bus because we own a budget.
Well, it's all the same as you, and I think I'd rather drive my Jeep than our heels.
Well, I reckon you probably do need to. You never know. They'd get you a four-wheel drive, I hope.
Yeah, it is four-wheel drive. That's what I was talking about.
Well,
all four wheels are not the same length, so they can stay on the mountainside.
Well, you know, we do. There's that old joke about us walking funny for the same.
Okay.
Anyway, we were hoping that, you know, we got some fancy new glass packs, and we put them on that little red Learjet, and they would strike your fancy, too. And
yeah, that might strike my fancy, too. Y'all have to, well, I don't know, I have to cut one leg off here just so I can walk on them, their heels on there.
Well, just only an inch or two, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyway, or you can just put something in your shoe. You know, we always do that too. So, even though you were born on the outer bluegrass, now, do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I think so. But they call, I was born in Mason County, and my the rest of my family keeps talking about them dark hills up there where we born at, you know. Y'all know.
Yeah. Well, Mason County boys from the outer bluegrass, because, you know.
Okay.
But anyway, Captain Jim, we're asking you to please return to your Kentucky roots and help us fly that little Learjet. I mean, it's the most prestigious jet in the air. Of course, it just goes from Hazard to Lexington to Louisville. It'd be a very short run. Anyway.
Have to use both engines coming up here?
Lord, no, we just use one.
Just do the one, okay. Stay still that way, doesn't it, huh?
Stay zone, guys.
The pilot's right leg or left leg is really at the end of the flight.
Well, it's better than the last bit we had, you know, ring on a rubber band and you did the pedals. So we're up there. We're going to break out into the big world one of these days. But anyway, Captain Jim, I always have a question that I ask every handsome man that's on the show.
Well, that leaves me out right now.
Oh, well, I'll ask.
Don't tell Neil I said that.
Anyway, are you married or anything?
Yeah, I'm married. My wife's sitting there here listening to us. Well, you better be careful what you say there, Lynn.
Oh, I'm your wife, Beverly. How are you?
Beth,
is it Beverly in the nose?
Beverly?
It says Beverly in the nose. I tell you, I just try to read this stuff. I don't make it up.
If Neil Roach, I'm sure you have a hard time reading on it.
Anyway, thank you so much, Captain Jim. And thank you, Captain Jim's wife, Beverly. You're a real sport. And
okay.
Make sure you come to Hazard and call us sometime.
I'll do that. I do that. You don't call up here, huh?
We sure will.
Jim.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Hazard?
Yeah. In fact, I guess this was in 59 or 60. I'd never been into Hazard flying in there anyway. And I flew the lieutenant governor down there. I think he was a little bit upset when I was zigzagging between the mountains trying to find that airport down the holler.
Oh, they always have trouble finding it.
But anyway, that was the one and only time I ever flew into Hazard.
Well,
is that I have a question. Is Hazard in Harlan County?
No, it's in Perry County. Perry, P-E-R-R-Y.
Okay.
Perry County.
Yeah. We have a beer joint there right on the county, on the borderline between Breathitt and Perry. And as you go into Perry, it says First Chance, and when you come out, it says
Nice Chance coming out.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Jim.
Okay.
Jim Hart, go ahead. You got a question?
Yes, Jim. This is Jim Hart down
in
Palm Beach. It's so good to hear from you today. I wonder if you could tell us maybe one of the most unusual experiences that you had during your flying days.
Well, I tell you can get Neil Holland on the line here, because he pawned an airplane off on me in Seattle one night.
Jim, you wouldn't ask that question, Jim Hart. But
I had to do that, Neil.
Yeah, so he's on the line. Let's go, Jim.
Yeah, he pawned an airplane off on me one night out in Seattle on takeoff. We didn't get airborne, thank goodness, because we blew three tires on the right main out of four on the takeoff roll.
I told my first officer he ought to go outside and check the airplane before we took off.
it got kind of interesting that night.
But you kept it on the runway, didn't you? You brought it to a stop.
Oh, yeah. That is, we couldn't see it, but the passengers and the flight attendant said there was a great big ball of fire came up off of the right wing. Some of that rubber came forward and went into that right engine and twisted it like a pretzel.
Wow. Boy, I guess they had to do probably an engine change on that, too. That was
they did. And we... the co-pilot and I stayed out there to test fly before we flew it back in line.
Wow.
Two of the flight attendants, I understand, quit in Seattle and took a train or a bus back to Atlanta. They wouldn't fly back.
Oh, my God. Oh, they can't.
It wasn't that big of a deal, really, because, it's something we practice all the time in the simulator is, blow tires on takeoff and this, that, and the other. So.
Well, since we're talking about Halls of Fame, the reason I thought of Jim Graybill, and Jim, of course, has been a member of our radio show website. I called Jim to see if he could help us. When I say help us, we have about three people, myself and two others, that are working on trying to get another Eastern captain inducted into the Georgia Hall of Fame. Captain Eddie Rickenbacker is the only member of the hall there in Georgia. He's a member of so many different halls of fames, Florida, of course, the Ohio, the National Aviation Hall of Fame there. But so many of them, and we're trying to get Captain Perry Hudson nominated. I guess that's what you would call nominated, or would you call a person that we hope to get into a hall?
Well, we have museum here in our Hall of Fame, rather, here in Kentucky. People who think that they know somebody or that, should be considered for it, they write up a kind of a vow on their entire life and submit it to the Hall of Fame committee. This year we've got 62 different people to choose from, and we'll choose four.
Wow, my golly. Georgia, I think they've got about 93, as I read earlier. And I had the good fortune of being at the Captain Eddie Rickenbacker's induction into the hall. And hopefully, and it's quite a ceremony. It is a black tie affair. And,
ours is too on the induction.
In the hangar there with all the historical airplanes hanging from the ceiling, and then down below those people, the guests that have been invited to that ceremony, and the dinner that is served, and of course the families of those that have been inducted. We had Bill Rickenbacker, Captain Eddie's son, that was William Rickenbacker, that was at the ceremony, and it was very impressive. And we're trying to do the same thing for Captain Perry Hudson, who was the chief pilot in Atlanta for so many years.
Yeah.
Of course, he was in World War II. He mainly was an instructor pilot in World War II. But he was also a state representative in the Georgia Assembly and a state senator in the Georgia Assembly. So he really has the qualifications, we feel, that we can get him into the Hall of Fame there in Georgia. And it's really interesting talking to someone that's actually been inducted, George, and again, congratulations for
thank you, sir. I think there are a lot of other people that deserve it a lot more than I do, but the Hall of Fame committee always picked me, so I'm very humbled by that that process.
Well, we talked a little bit about the National Hall of Fame, and Bill, you were going to make a comment about that organization. Do you still have that comment coming? Can you tell us about that?
Well, sure, Neil. I've got just a note about the organization, and then I've got a little personal situation I'll add on the back of it for you. The National Aviation Hall of Fame was founded in 1962 as an Ohio nonprofit corporation in Dayton, Ohio, the home of the Wright brothers and the birthplace of aviation. The five founders of this organization were James Jacobs, Gregory Karras, John Lombard, Larry O'Neill, and Gerald Weller. On July 14, 1964, the National Aviation Hall of Fame was chartered nationally by an act of the U.S. 88th Congress, Public Law 88-372, signed by President Lyndon B. Johnson. The organization continues today as a public foundation, reporting annually to Congress. The primary support for this foundation comes from private, tax-deductible, membership dues, and contributions from individuals and organizations. It's really worthwhile to take a computer trip to their website, where you will see all that have been enshrined since its beginning into this very elite group. Go to www.nationalaviation.org. I have been to the National Aviation Hall of Fame. It's located, of course, in at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, and a worthwhile trip it is. There is no fee to go through. They allow you to make a contribution if you like, but it certainly is well worth the time, and I would hope that anybody that gets in that Dayton area, besides going to the bicycle shop where the Wright brothers worked, go out to the National Museum, which is located at the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force on Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Bill, I have a question for you. Isn't Dayton, Ohio, the home of naval aviation?
Not at all. The birthplace of naval aviation is good old Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And I was stationed at Naval Air Station in Pensacola from 59 to 62 at the field out there. And the Naval Air Station Pensacola Naval Air Museum was started in 1962, another worthwhile place to visit.
Oh, that's quite a place to go through now.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's been a very interesting chat with you, Jim. It's an honor for us to have you on the show, and we certainly would like for you to come back and visit with us again, and we can tell some Eastern stories as well.
I would love to, Neil. I certainly appreciate your all's comments there tonight. I think the comments about me are need to be on somebody else that's a lot more famous with this than I am, and deserve a lot more than I do. The Kentucky Aviation Hall of Fame is, we've got some pretty high celebrities in that unit, and I still don't know why they chose me to be in there, because it has to be kind of the pinnacle of my aviation career.
I hear our sign-off bumper music. And that tells me that we're about out of time for this week's show. We hope you've enjoyed our show tonight, and you'll be back for next week's broadcast when we will once again bring you Eastern Talk. As you know, all of our radio shows go by episode numbers, and tonight's broadcast was episode number 101, meaning 101 radio shows at this point. If you miss any of our broadcasts, you can go to the website, blogtalkradioshow.com/Captain Eddie, and click on the episode you wish to hear. Tell your friends about the show. More importantly, get involved with the rest of our hosts by participating live on our broadcast. We're proud of the fact that this show is the only airline radio show of its kind. It's part of the way we're keeping in the memory of Eastern Airlines alive. Well, that's all for tonight, folks. And from all of your hosts, we say good night, Eastern family and friends.
Good night. Nice talking to you, Jim.
Good night.
Good night, Neil. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
Very good. Very good, Neil. You still on?
Hey, Jim. It was great,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Yes, it was, Margaret. Absolutely.
Very good.
You stay tuned in until the end of the song?
Yes, I do.
Very good. I won't hang up until I hear the end of the music.
By the way, they all listen to you on archives.
Helps me here. But I love.
Good night.